Good afternoon to everyone. Thank you for joining me for today's weekly COVID update. First, let me comment on the April revenue report that's released today that shows that our revenue is $166 million over forecast for the year to date. We have over $700 million over forecast with only 2 months left. And it's just a reflection of the return of our economy, the strength of our economy here in Arkansas, and the confidence that the public has. We wisely have set that surplus aside for our long-term reserve account to the largest extent. And so that's good news for the state, and I'm pleased to report that. I also just wanted to make a comment before I continue on with today's report that I think it'd be wise if this is the last weekly COVID update. Now, that's not an indication on where we are. It's just that we have news that develops periodically. I will continue with a weekly news update from my office, so you can expect me to be here every Tuesday because there are other news to cover. But I want to continue with my media briefings, but it will be more broad than simply the COVID update. And I think that's a reflection of how we've got a lot going on in Arkansas, and there's a lot of other things that I need to talk about. Let's go to our case report today. And we have straight to the news is the right in the middle block there, change from yesterday on new COVID cases is 296. Yes, this is a higher jump than last week. Active cases are up by 100 as well. Deaths are up by 5. And the concern, of course, if you go over to the right, is that there's 20 new hospitalizations. That's not unusual for hospitalizations to go up on a Monday, but that is a higher jump than what we had wished it to be. In terms of our testing, remains low. Our top counties are the population counties, Benton, Washington, Pulaski, for those counties that have over 20 cases. We continue to have good news in our Department of Corrections with continued vaccination there, where they vaccinated 47%, I believe it is, of the inmate population, and they're doing a good job. On vaccinations, we had 10,000 doses given out, 10,900 doses, and this reflects both second doses and first doses. And so they're busy. Not all of those are first doses, and those are the ones we want to increase, as well as to make sure everybody gets back for their second dose as well. We continue to grow in those that are partially or fully immunized. And that leads me to the next chart, which is an announcement that I want to make in which we are challenging the state of Arkansas to reach 50% of Arkansans vaccinated either with one or two doses within the next 90 days. This is a big challenge for us, but we currently have 1,038,000 Arkansans, or 34%, that have received at least one shot. And then with that, we want to be able to increase that to 50%. And to do that, that means that we have to have 467,000 more Arkansans vaccinated within the next 90 days in order to meet this goal. And this is important for us to set this goal because you want to look at the future for a moment. And 90 days will put us at right at July 31st. We're probably, 3 weeks out from school starting, football starting, and at that point, if we reach our goal, 50% of the entire Arkansas population will have at least one shot. Obviously, we want to get it higher than that, and if you look at the adult population, it will be, and we want to get them fully vaccinated, but it starts with this simple foundational goal. And it's going to take a lot of work from all Arkansans in the communities to get 467,000 more Arkansans vaccinated. To underscore this point, I asked the Department of Health to relay to me as to how we've done in the past on flu shots. Well, last year was the highest in terms of vaccination rate for flu shots and it was at 54.9%. Normally, the vaccination rate in a normal year is 40 to 50%. And so we're setting a goal for COVID vaccinations even higher than what we normally do to avoid the flu. And so it's a challenge for us. It's a far-reaching goal, but a very critical goal that helps us to really pinpoint what we need to do over the next 90 days. And we also wanted to go further and break it down by county. And so, although this is hard to read, we're going to get the information to all the counties so that they will know how you can meet that goal. For example, up in Benton County, they need to have 19.5% of their population vaccinated in the next 90 days to meet the 50% level. But in Jefferson County, they have to do, I think it's 29.4%. Down in Miller County, 35% they have to vaccinate. And so it varies by county, and we can translate those percentages into specific numbers. And so they will have a specific numerical goal in the county that we're challenging them to reach over the next 90 days so that we can statewide reach our 50% goal. And a lot of work ahead, but a lot of opportunity, and I applaud the local leadership that's really embraced this. It's going to take local leadership in order to drive and increase the access to vaccines and to make sure that opportunity is there for everyone. And with that, I wanted to look at what we're going to be doing, and I'll ask Renee to come from the Department of Health to talk about some of the clinics that are ahead.
Thank you. So what we have done so far with at the Health Department in working with our partners, it was we have had clinics where you had to call, make an appointment, and then you had to show up for those clinics. So in an attempt to get the vaccine out there where people are, we are going to take it where the people show up. So you can see this list, but what we did last week or week before is ask our local folks to tell us where things were going to be happening in the community. We told them that it doesn't matter how big or how small, if you know it's an event or you know there's going to be people there, we want to know it. So they responded, and we now have a list over the next several months of, it's growing every day, but 600 to 700 events throughout Arkansas. So you can see with this tonight with our partner, the Arkansas Medical Society, they will be at the Arkansas Travelers game. And what that means is they will have vaccine out there for anybody that wants to sit down and get a shot. You know, no appointment, no anything. You're walking up, you wanna go to the game, you want a shot, the Medical Society will be there. We, you know, even if people don't want a shot, but they have questions, you know, somebody will be able to answer those questions. So if you just, you know, you're a little bit hesitant, you have questions, you don't necessarily want a shot tonight, you know, ask the questions and then show up next week somewhere for a shot. But just to give you, you know, you can see we'll be at Central Mall in Fort Smith on the 9th. We'll be at War Memorial for Arkansas Made, Arkansas Proud, which is a craft market on the 15th. And then we're going to be at high school graduations. So we will be out there with that vaccine, sitting at a table, you know, health department, partners, whoever, to give that shot when people show up. So just to give you an example of some of the things that we've got on the list, we have the Shirley Homecoming Celebration in Shirley, Arkansas. We have the annual Purple Hall Pea Festival and Rotary Tiller Championship. We have the King Biscuit Festival in West Helena, and we have the Lum and Abner Festival in Mena. We have farmers markets, we have car shows, motorcycle rallies, fireworks, food banks, rodeos, livestock shows. If it's happening in a community, we hopefully have it on our list. You know, those livestock shows, you know, if you grew up in rural Arkansas like I did, it's called, you know, the sale at the sale barn every Saturday. So if, you know, hopefully, you know, our goal is to get as many shots in arms as we possibly can so that we can get our numbers trending down again and hopefully resume as normal of a life as we can have after March of last year. So thank you.
Thank you, Renee, and great job in meeting the challenge of all of these pop-up clinics and improving access in Arkansas. And then let's go quickly through, this is busy, but I think it's important to emphasize some of the pieces of legislation that has been passed that impact our fight against COVID and where we are right now in the state. And first of all, in terms of Act 1030, prohibits state and local authorities from using a vaccine passport. This becomes law 90 days after recess, which is a prohibition on state and local government. It does not impact the private sector that can make their own decisions in terms of whether they want to require vaccines or not. In terms of the face coverings, Act 1002, as you know, I lifted the statewide mandate for masks, but it allows the local option and the private sector continue that in their businesses if they wish. The law that was passed does, in 90 days, eliminate that local option for cities. And so in 90 days, that will be lifted, but at the present time, the local option is still in place. And of course, private businesses can make their own decisions again, and state hospitals and others are exempted from it as well. And so that's sort of the current state, a couple of legislative items that I thought was important to emphasize. And then go ahead to the next one. You can see the 7-day rolling average is still fairly flat of confirmed and probable cases. Next, hospitalized is ticked up a little bit, still right at under 200. We watch that. And next, the active cases are still pretty flat, but it's enough to make sure that we don't want to go up any more than that, hopefully. And then this is one that I know Dr. Romero will want to talk about for a moment. And you can see April 3rd, the variant detection in Arkansas was in 12 counties. On April 19th, it was in 18 counties, and then May 3rd, our variants were detected in 29 counties in Arkansas. A reminder that we still have COVID-19 and its variants that are in different places across the state. And then finally, we have, as you know, a real tragedy that we see displayed in India. And I'm grateful that this administration is providing relief to them, but clearly they have been challenged, and nationally they have limited the international travel to and from India and restricted it for non-citizens. It's important here in Arkansas. We have a good, great Indian population here, and we value them tremendously. But if there is anyone that travels to and from India, we're asking them and recommending that they quarantine for 14 days when they come back. That is to make sure that the Indian variant is not transmittable and to get a greater hold in the state. I know, Dr. Romero, you'll have some things to add with that. Dr. Romero.
Thank you, Governor. So we are seeing an increase in the number of variants detected in the state. Last week, this week, we had a significant jump in the number of the UK variant, the B117, that has been found. They now make up nearly 75% of the variants that we are seeing here. As I've said before, this variant is highly transmissible and is associated with increased morbidity and mortality. And it's probably one of the reasons that why they're driving the number of hospitalizations in young individuals, children in particular, in the northern states. Now, we are starting to see more cases in children here than we had. So they cannot get the vaccine. And one way to protect them is to form a cocoon around them by adults and adolescents receiving the vaccine. So again, please consider this when deciding whether to take the vaccine or not. As the governor said, we are going to continue to monitor this. We have seen some isolates from India. We have not found the double mutant yet or variant, but we are searching for these very, very actively by sending to the CDC. We've increased the number of isolates being sent and sequenced. Again, I want to stress the importance of getting your vaccine. We are seeing, as the governor mentioned, an increased number of hospitalizations by 20 today. Seeing an increase in the number of hospitalizations, an increase in the number of active cases, as well as a slight increase in the overall rolling average of antigen and positivity and PCR positivity in the state, is worrisome to us as epidemiologists and public health people. We want to make sure that this does not continue, because it would indicate that we have spread of significant amounts of virus in the state. So I'll turn it back over to the governor. Thank you very much.
With that, we'll open it up to any questions.
Governor, let me jump in. Sorry, we're from Canada, and I'm not sure. I don't want to jump in over the other people from protocol, and I promise we'll be quick. If I could just ask you, we're doing a story about some of the bills that have been passed in the state here, and we interviewed a counselor who treats trans youth, and she said one of her patients came to her and said she feels like it's as if the state doesn't care if they die. What do you have to say to trans youth in this state that feel like that?
Well, I probably met with the same counselor that you referenced, and that was the concern that I had, and that's the reason that I vetoed the bill that would limit their health care. And my veto is overridden, and so I know that the counselors and those are trying to reach out to their patients and get them the care that they need, and I want them to know that we do care, and I certainly have compassion for them, and hope that they can get the health care that they need.
But you did sign two other bills that do affect trans people in this state. Do you not see that is a challenge there for the people who are feeling like this?
We're talking about health care, and I vetoed the bill that limited their health care. I think from that they understand that I value them, I understand what they're going through, and that's the reason I vetoed those bills. Alex?
Some of our national leaders have said that herd immunity is no longer see that as an attainable goal. Is that still our goal in Arkansas? Is that something that you guys see as realistic, or do we need to change our goal here?
Well, as you can see, you said it for 90 days out, it's 50%. That's not herd immunity. They still look at that as 70% or above. And I've followed the statements that it's going to be hard to reach herd immunity here in the United States, but that's something that should be our goal. It should be our goal to get that 70% level. But as you can see from our percent acceptance for the flu shot, it's going to be challenging for our state. That's why it's going to take a concentrated effort to get to 50%, and then we want to get higher than that. Dr. Romero, did you want to comment on that? On the question of the herd immunity?
So it's become obvious, I guess, to the CDC and to the government that herd immunity is not an attainable goal at this time. So what we want to do is to try to get as many adults as possible to be immunized. Every person that's fully immunized is one less person in whom the virus can replicate, and that will decrease in the number of variants. Eventually, either through vaccination or through reinfection, we will attain some degree of immunity to the virus that is now circulating. We still have to deal with variants, but we need to push to try to get as many people as possible immunized.
Yes.
Governor, as you said, it will be a challenge to get 50%, 467,000, a lot of people to sway, and there's still partisan, a lot of people within your own party who are hesitant to get the virus. Anything you can do to sway people who still have political, you know, motivations or feelings like that?
You know, it all varies on the political spectrum. I mean, some people get a vaccine, they believe in it, but they just don't want it mandated. Then you have others that they never got a flu shot, they never get vaccines. And so, and that, I don't know that it's a partisan basis. It's just simply thinking of many Arkansans. And so this is something that is not unusual in Arkansas. I won the White House call today, and they're working hard on vaccine acceptance and getting the education messages out there. This is a safe and effective vaccine. Employers need to be engaged in education of their workforce. We need to at the state level, at our schools and communities, and that's really the answer. Anytime people are making decisions, you got to get information to them. But I think it's also not just resistance to the idea of a vaccine, it is delay. It's say, well, I'll get it tomorrow, I'll get it down the road, or I think it's not getting, the cases aren't going up again, and so I don't know anybody who's sick, so I'm just going to put it off. And that's what we have to overcome too. It's a different kind of resistance, and it's just as important for us to win those over too and understand the urgency of it.
Apparently the White House has said if states don't order all of their allocation of vaccine, it's going to be redistributed to other states. So do you know how this is going to affect Arkansas, and are you concerned about the new strategy?
I was briefed on it, had some personal conversations with Jeff Zients, who heads up the White House Coronavirus Task Force, and quite frankly, it makes sense. And so it just simply means that if we're not utilizing all of our allocation in Arkansas and don't order it, then it can be used for the urgent needs across the country. And where there's a higher acceptance rate, where there's a higher demand, our allocation is preserved, and so we will be able to pick it back up the next week. We're assured that we're going to have adequate vaccinations, but maybe that's a motivator that if we don't utilize the vaccines that are available to us here in Arkansas, then those vaccines might go to Massachusetts because there's a higher acceptance rate there. And so I want those vaccines to go in Arkansas, and so let's don't lose that ability. We have to increase our demand for it.
In the case of Liddell Lee, who was executed 4 years ago, they've now found new DNA of an unknown male on the murder weapon. What's your reaction to that, and how do you feel now about your role in his execution?
Whenever you make tough decisions, whenever you have to carry out the decision of a jury, you realize that it's been reviewed by the Supreme Court at every level. They affirm the convictions, and it's my duty to carry out the law. The evidence, obviously, that was uncovered is inconclusive, and the fact is that the jury found him guilty based upon the information that they had.
May I ask one more quick question, Governor?
Because we welcome our neighbors from Canada. Yes, please.
We are based in D.C., so we did not break any quarantine rules. Let's just be very clear about that. But I did want to ask you, some families are considering leaving the state because they're not going to be able to get care for their kids 90 days outside the legislative session if the bill goes ahead and it's not challenged in the courts. What do you say to those families who are considering picking up, taking their lives elsewhere because of this legislation?
Well, I want you to make the best decisions for health care. I hope that can be handled in Arkansas. Obviously, we value you. We want you to stay here. It's important to our workforce and the diversity that we have. But it saddens me, but I also understand decisions that have to be made for healthcare purposes.
So if they have to leave, you understand that?
If they're leaving because they're mad, I hope that they understand that we care and we value them. If they're leaving because they have to have access to a different kind of health care, obviously I understand that, whether it's a cancer treatment or whether it's hormone treatment. That's the decision that they have to make.
Your goal on the 50% in the next 90 days, is our current pace of vaccinations sufficient to reach that, or would it have to increase? And do you know how much we'd have to increase?
The big thing is that our decline needs to stop because right now you look month over month, there was some decline in vaccination rates. It's picked back up a little bit, I think, because of a greater intense effort. And so we're going to have to work hard. It's a big challenge for us. If you look at the current rate, and I know Colonel Ader looked at that, I think it would put us a little short of our goal at the current rate. So we have to actually pick up our rate of vaccination. Go ahead, Mike.
In your graphic, there was a reference to some legislation regarding the public health emergency.
You read quickly.
you have any thoughts on where we're going in terms of extension?
That's right. Down at the bottom, Mike, in fine print, it references the fact that the current emergency expires at the end of this month, and which means that I would have to make a decision by the 20th if the emergency was going to be extended, in order to give the legislature an opportunity to take a look at it as well. And so I'll simply wait till closer to the 20th to make that decision. I think that'd be prudent. Let's go remotely. Are there any questions remotely?
Yeah, Governor, this is Andrew with AP. Had a couple questions for you. The laws that you mentioned that you had signed last week dealing with mask mandates, vaccine requirements, vaccine passports, after signing those, as well as the other limits on emergency powers that you had signed into law, if Arkansas sees a further surge in cases, kind of like what Michigan has seen, what tools do you have left to deal with that with these limits now in place? Also, more broadly, wanted to see if are there any bills still awaiting action from you from this legislative session that you think you may veto, or any bills that are causing any a concern for you right now that are still awaiting action?
On the reference to the last question, I have finished with all the bills that are on my desk, and so there were no further vetoes, Andrew. In terms of the tools that I have to deal with COVID-19, I have all the same tools that I have always had, and I can make those decisions if needed. The only difference is that I have to build and eventually have legislative support for any use of those tools. And so it's, I lead, but I also have to have support from the legislature in the final analysis. And I expect that if we have, a serious issue that we have to deal with, that they will be supportive of the tools that we need to address it. Any other questions?
Yes, Governor, this is Garrett Ferguson with KWA Fox 24 News. The pop-up clinics that are planned seems like statewide events that are happening. What's the state doing to limit the potential vaccine waste that would have the potential to happen once a vial is open?
That's really a great question, because you're trying to balance efficiency and getting the vaccines out with making sure that there's not any waste, and they run in conflicts sometimes. And so we have been very careful. We don't waste any of the vaccines, but we recognize that as you start moving into doctor's offices or you move into more isolated areas, that they're not going to be able to always use every dose that they have in the particular vial, particularly if they expand the doses in each vial, which they're looking at doing. And so that raises a potential for waste that we have to guard against, and all our providers I know will be working to do that. So we're going to minimize that. We don't expect that to happen. We expect our providers to make sure they get out and do what they need to get every dose into somebody's arm. But it is a concern, and we're looking at that both nationally as well as here. What would be helpful is if we had the manufacturers produce vials that had smaller quantities in there, which reduce the potential for waste. But that would slow up the manufacturing process, so they don't want to do that. So we have to walk that fine line and balance the two. Colonel, do you have anything else there?
So the state has done a really, really fantastic job of minimizing wastage. So really where we are now and where our focus is to make sure that we don't have any large-scale wastage. We do have an excess supply here in the state. We want to make sure that we're using that efficiently. And so everything we're doing now is trying to, triage the doses before an expiration date to make sure that they make it into it so that we don't have any large-scale wastage. But I think everybody, every conversation I've had with providers is that they understand that there is going to be
some increased wastage because we don't want to lose the opportunity. If we have someone that's seeking the vaccination, we're going to make sure they get the vaccination. Thanks, sir.
Is there one last question?
Governor, this is actually Garrett again. Following the storms from last night that pushed through the Northwest Arkansas, and specifically the River Valley, do you plan on touring any of the storm damage in the Van Buren area?
Thank you for the question. And yes, there were 23 counties that Adam reports had some level of storm damage. We've had a number of the counties declare an emergency. And so we'll continue to monitor it, and as needed, I will be there. But right now we're working hard through our emergency management to be responsive of any needs that they have. And then back here at the table.
You hope this is the last weekly press briefing on the pandemic. This has been a unique way of you speaking directly to our Kansans and stations like mine, airing them live every week. Have these briefings achieved the goal that you want in terms of reaching out to the public?
Absolutely. It was particularly effective whenever they're every day. But at the same time, we couldn't, that shouldn't be kept up whenever we saw things getting under better control. So the briefings have exceeded my expectations in terms of a communication tool. Just today, I was in Jacksonville and someone came up and said, thank you for doing that every day, because we were really worried last March. And having a governor there with some calmness and honesty and being frank with the Arkansans made a difference to them. And so that's been very rewarding. It was a very, very good tool. And it continues to be. And so I want to emphasize that I take COVID continually very seriously, as you can see from these goals. So we're going to continue to measure on the vaccines getting out. We're going to have news conferences as needed to get information out to the public. And so you're not seeing the last of this discussion. I just want to do it a little bit less regimented, and where when we come in here on Tuesday, there'll be a variety of topics that will be covered, this being one of them. With that, thank you all very much, and glad to have our...
One more really quick question, I promise. It's just, Arkansas is the center of a much larger national trend with Republican lawmakers in a number of different state houses bringing in different laws that affect transgender people in their communities. Why is this, why is the, from your perspective as a lawmaker, why is this something that's necessary right now, and why are Republican lawmakers bringing forward these bills?
I can't speak for all the lawmakers that are out there, and some mostly Republican, but some Democrats as well that have voted for some of these bills. And I can't speak to all the motivations behind it. That wouldn't be appropriate. I think some of them are very sincere about minors and the decisions that they make on their own health care, even if with the parental guidance in it and physician in it. That's an honest difference of opinion as to the role of the state. You know, in terms of the warning, what I've said is that we should be a little bit more careful about jumping into the middle of every cultural war and every cultural issue that's out there. Many the issues that people are concerned about have to be addressed first in the community and the family, with the in the churches, and that's where you shape the future of our culture. And it always doesn't have to be with the heavy hand of the law. And those are debates that will continue. I just think it's important that we debate them honestly, and that we don't think less of someone because they might have a different view on that. And that's, to me, the American democratic debate. It's going to continue. We've got a lot of differing views on that, and it hurts some people. So that's what I regret, and hopefully we can avoid some of those issues in the future. Thank you.